I want to loop back to something that was brought up the other day. I think it's something worth talking about. How do you get someone who just feels hopeless? How do you get them to make that first step? And this is something I learned when I worked for a company called Serotech. And in that particular case, what brought that gentleman was around was the ability to follow sports. The short answer then is find this person's passion. What is your passion? What do you most want to do? For some people, that may be reading the newspaper. Some people, that may be phone call, audio, video call to your grandkids on your iPhone where they can see you and talk. And so each person is different in what they want. And if you find that and help them to accomplish that first thing that's important to them. It could be sewing, could be threading that needle, whatever it is. Once they do that one thing, one or two things that are most important to them, then they'll start pursuing others because it's getting that initial confidence that, wow, I can do this. I can do pretty much everything that I did before with my eyeballs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't say it better, Michael. That was brilliantly said. And we talked about it the other day in one of these chats. And I said, when people call me, I said, what do you miss the most? I miss reading. I can't get out anymore. There's no way I can travel. And you're right. You hit them in the right spot, nice and calm. Let them vent. I usually say, give them 10 minutes to vent. And then I say, if you're up for it, the pity party is over and we're going to solve your first issue. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think there's a couple of hands up. Dr. Carolyn, I think, has her hand raised.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment, Michael. I totally agree with you. And I also, that's why I encourage chapters and members. You need a mentor. We don't know what people are going through. But if they have a good mentor, somebody that has two ears and one mouth, they will find out what it is that, you know, they can do to help that person help themselves. That's very valuable.
And when you say God made us have two ears and one mouth for a reason, I agree with you also. So did you ever think that the word listen and silent have the same letters?
This is Carolyn. That was me.
I want to ask you, what is your passion? Have you been able to figure out a way to do what's really important to you? What really matters to you?
Well, I love nursing. I was a nurse for 30 years.
Are you retired, Carolyn?
I just renewed my license. I was a faith community nurse before COVID hit. Long story short, it's hard to get the churches to buy into this holistic health kind of prevention.
Yeah, while you're figuring all that out, when you are not trying to work, what's your favorite thing to do? For fun or for satisfaction or something?
Well, see, that's the thing. I've always worked.
You talk about a mentor. I believe her name is Emily Schlenker. It's the first pharmacology student with the help of the NFB. Be one of the first totally blind pharmacists and giving shots at a myriad of talking medical devices. I don't know if you have any of those, Carolyn. You now get talking blood pressure, thermometers, pulse oximeter. So, you know, you can do vitals and those kind of things. So I'm like you. I'm kind of married to my hobbies and my careers, and I understand that. You know, that's what you know. You love medical information and those procedures. And so maybe finding a mentor, someone who, like yourself, maybe was a nurse and had to make that transition and still has a passion for the medical field and kind of knowing what's going on in that space and how to do as many of those procedures as you used to do might be the passion for you.
This is Shelley, too. There's also maybe an opportunity with the diabetic population. There's a Diabetic Action Network in the NFB, and I mean, maybe there's some opportunities to be a mentor or provide your information as kind of a consultant.
This is Carolyn Peters again, and I think that's a great idea. I was thinking about Dan as well. But also, Carolyn, you may even consider being the health coordinator for your chapter. You know, answer questions about people have some health issues, and you can share your expertise. I mean, that's a way to start. But definitely get in touch with Ms. Debbie Wander or Jean Brown in regard to Dan. And you can feel free to call me if you like, because I do mentor people across the country. I can, you know, make sure you get a mentor.
We are going to be giving everybody contact information for each other in this group.
I'm going to mention another thing, Carolyn, just on the health front, just in case you weren't aware. I think this is very exciting, is that in the last couple of years, we now have the ability to people to read their blood sugars. A lot of people are kind of married to their careers. That's what they know. They're excited about new things and helping people. There was one other nurse on here. I recall when they did the introductions on Sunday. I don't remember who it was. Maybe the two of you can connect and talk about that. And You mentioned being active. I don't know what you used to do, but I mean, we have blind skiers. We have a few folks that have done mountain climbing. I mean, you can certainly pursue. Maybe if it's bike riding, maybe you want to do tandem where you're riding with someone, or
working and going to the gym.
A lot of blind folks go to the gym, actually.
I did start going to the gym, though. I did start that.
Oh, great.
Well, I got a personal trainer. I need to...
That's a good idea to get a personal trainer just to get acclimated with the equipment. You know, some of the gyms will let you label it. We talked about that a little bit the other day. I don't know if you were in here at the time about that, about getting the equipment labeled. And some gyms are better than that than others, or sometimes people will remove the labels. So swimming or whatever exercises you like to do. And also there's a great, any device, it's called Revision Fitness. And it is, if you want to just do exercises in your home, and it's a very well done app. For the iPhone, or you can go on your computer. Revision Fitness, R-E, then capital V, like Revision Fitness, like, you know, new way to think about it. And it's by a gentleman by the name of Tyler Marin. I'm going to make sure Janie has that in the resources as well, because it's a great app that you can use, and he explains the exercises. So if you've got to do new things and you're not sure how to do them properly, it is, I mean, if you love to exercise, it is the best tool.
Okay.
I think it was mentioned briefly the other day. Liz may have mentioned it on Monday, but if you love to exercise, you will really like it. And I like it because it explains. Myself never having eyesight, I don't know how to properly do it because I don't want to injure myself, and he explains that. It's a classroom, they call it, where you can go in and learn any exercise that you're interested in, how to do it. You know, work on your belly fat or just whatever part of your body. And there's like 8 introduction exercises if you've never exercised before and you just want to get up to speed.
This is Jean. When I was talking before and mentioned something about having so few trainers in the state and all, somebody had mentioned Connie LeBlond and Savvy. And we have had them in our building. They've been very helpful. Their training is somewhat bound by the state contracts. And that's where our holdup is our state is not all that generous with its matching funds. So I mean, it's a long wait list. And the NFB chapter, East chapter, is the one I'm a member of. They have been very helpful. I just wanted to make sure you understand those people have all been extremely helpful and reaching out to them from your end. The last two talking with mentoring and my sister's a nurse. And once you step out of that medical field, if that's been your field, it really is hard to find something else with equal passion, because that's a captivating field.
I am a personal trainer and I am a blind personal trainer, and I do have a background in EMS. I would be willing to help anyone. If anyone has any questions, Jane got my information. And no matter what state you're in, if you have a question or I could help you, I would be tickled pink to help you. I do go to the gym. They don't want their stuff marked with all these little dots and markings. So what I do is I take my magnifier and I use my magnifier. And if I see someone next to me and I say, you know, excuse me, can you help me with this? And usually they're pretty nice and they help you.
Carolyn, I don't know if you ever heard of something called podcasts. And those are like recordings that people make on different subjects. Mm-hmm. There's hundreds of thousands of them. And there's some great ones for medical, so maybe Janie or Judy could share contact information. I could send you some that you could maybe listen to and get started. That way you could, you know, hear from doctors and other nurses and folks in the field and probably learn and know more than those, you know, many of those still working in the field. And I love podcasts. I'm kind of a podcast addict. I 2 to 3 hours a day, I'm listening to different podcasts. Now, mine are more for technology, but so whatever your passion is, you can, you know, find that.
Janie. Carolyn, are you a book reader or book listener?
Recently got into doing that.
So you need to get the book, The Blind Doctor, The Jacob Bolotin Story. It's one of the most inspirational books. It's one of the most informative about what he did 100 years ago, how he advocated for himself. He was the NFB before the NFB existed, and he's probably the least known other than Helen Keller. We all know Helen Keller, but we all should know Dr. Jacob Bolotin. That's a very inspirational book and all about health and medicine and how we got to do this totally blind. So I recommend that book.
We talked the other day about BARD. I don't know if you have access to that, the books from the National Library Service that are free. There's a lot of free books, and there's a lot in there on health, psychology, different health.
And if you need help, talk to your chapter or, you know, your state affiliate. And if you can't get help that way, which I'm sure you can, then, you know, just give any one of us a call and we'll set you in the right direction. That's really important for you to read if you want to read.
This is June. The app for the notes, how you can record your notes.
Oh, it's on your phone. Do you have an iPhone?
Yes, ma'am.
So there's native apps. They call it native because they come with the phone and it's on your phone. And if you don't have no idea where it is, just say to Siri, open notes, and it's right there. Or you could just dictate right from the beginning on your iPhone. Just hold down the Siri button or say, hey, Siri, I want to give you a note. And it'll say, I'm ready for your note. And you can say, the phone number to Jane Degenshine is 201-910-5750. That's my cell phone if anybody needs it.
How do I retrieve it? Do I just say,
hey, Siri, tell me all my notes, and it'll tell you all your notes. You just don't tell Siri to do it all. It's the easiest way to do it. You can also open up notes and do it yourself and dictate it in there.
This is Shelley. How would you make categories on that?
Well, let's say you have a note that's called a shopping list, and you write down the things that you want to tell your husband to get, bananas, milk, eggs, whatever, and you close it up. Oh my gosh, I forgot to put down hamburger meat. Then you say, Siri, open up my shopping list, hamburger meat to the shopping list. And then if you're done with that shopping list, if you get a lot of things all the time, you always buy milk, eggs, and bread, and you always get, you know, certain kind of yogurt, Greek yogurt, whatever. You can make one shopping list and then add to it. And then you can delete the things that you hardly ever get, like ketchup. You might get that once a year, or aluminum foil or something. And then you can delete those from your note. You can also do that with Alexa.
Janie, this is Jerry.
Jerry Marino, yes.
Hi. You could also make individual folders in your note app if you want to do a little bit more. And then there's another app that I found that you can download for free called DraftPad, which is a little easier to use at times. Circling back to what Carolyn was talking about, I would suggest asking her chapter president to go on the chapter president's listserv and ask if, you know, anyone who is a nurse or a former nurse. And then the other thing would be to volunteer and talk to someone and mentor them, because everybody has something to offer.
There's also a blind nursing student in addition to the pharmacology student. They were both our Indiana convention, and I, of course, me being me, I've got everything recorded, so I want to make sure I send those links. Definitely inspiring, I think, to hear them and hear their enthusiasm and their passion, how they're dealing with the issues. And you think the patients would be the issue, but sometimes it's coworkers overcoming those issues. And I thought they were both very interesting interviews, so I want to make sure we share those.
It's Marion, navigating outside with your cane. The problem that I have right now is navigating in 8 to 10 inch snow.
There's no easy way to do that. How far do you have to walk?
Probably at least 500 yards or thereabouts.
Say, if it's someone you know and you're, you know, you're comfortable, when you go to check your mail, would you mind if I tagged along with you?
Oh. That's an idea.
The snow is difficult. And then if it starts to melt, then, you know, you might be more comfortable and you can say, you know, I've enjoyed seeing you, but I just want you to know that I'd still like to walk with you to the mailbox, but I'm good now.
So this is specifically on the property where you live. So either reaching out to the office manager, or sometimes you can communicate directly with the maintenance person. Just let them know that you have that need. So as they're clearing paths, they make sure that getting the one to your mail or wherever you're going is one of the first ones that they get taken care of.
And maybe you're not going to know whether they did or not. You might start to notice it if you're walking with your friend and it seems clear to you until it's, you know, that's not the kind of thing you can rely on.
Well, that's true. You can't rely on it. But I just found it was effective. And I made friends with the maintenance man, and he made sure that my paths, because I used to live next adjacent to my workplace, and he made sure that mine was taken care of. It may not work. You know, as the kids say, never hurts to ask.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can do that. You have to know something about their system, probably, to know who does it. But
that's a good idea. Thank you.
This is Curtis Chong, and one of the things that we used to do a lot more of that we don't do as much today is when we used to, you know, I used to pay a lot of money for readers myself, and I figure I might have been able to talk my reader into making it as a part of their job when they come and do my mail. But today, it's fallen out of fashion. The use of readers and other visual kinds of things isn't quite as popular as it used to be. Although I do advise people all the time that if you're going to have somebody help you, find something that you can offer back in return.
Yes.
So that they figure you're not just mooching on them all the time and not giving anything back.
Minnesota.
I went to work one day when we got 18 inches of snow in less than 6 hours. And I will tell you that those of us that were rugged enough to try to get to the bus and stuff, we would get lost. It's just a never-ending problem that anybody has, you know, a variety of reasons could cause it. And when I was younger, I was very rugged and adventurous, and I just got out and did it and got lost and grumbled about it. But in the end, you know, as we get older, we're going to have to find less rugged ways to traverse it, because there is no good way, honestly, that works all the time. And new snow, especially, to me, is the worst. I mean, I'm glad when it's all shoveled up and you got the pathways nice and clear. That's great. Love that. The new snow that could last for 12 hours that just creates the kind of problem that if it gets really bad enough, a person has to think, is there a better way to do this? Because I just can't keep doing it.
Now, is that what they call an HOA?
No, we don't have an HOA.
Okay.
I spent many years with my husband who was in real estate, and he hated HOAs. Now I wish I had an HOA. I mean, it would work out a lot better. Thank you for all your hints. I really appreciate it. I'm going to try and make more friends. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, the one thing you want to avoid is being regarded by the people around you as a person who always needs help and who doesn't ever give anything back. Because trust me, you can go down that road real easy. Like, I know some blind people who will have their sighted friends take them places and they won't even pay for gas. Well, no, I'm sorry. That's just not in my book of useful strategies.
You took the words right out of my mouth. If you get someone that's kind enough to give you a ride and you never pay them for gas, don't be surprised when they no longer want to give you a ride.
That's just true.
A common courtesy.
And if it's your neighbors, you can make cookies for them, or you can, well, don't ask me to make cookies. That's not my thing. But, you know, you could do something. It doesn't have to be money.
I like gift cards. I've made a lot of friends, and I'm very lucky that way. I've made a lot of friends, but all of them have vision loss. Not one of them has vision. So I really need to work on that.
Sometimes it all starts with a simple hello.
Yeah.
And there's just someone waiting to talk.
As sometimes happens with people with new vision loss, I'm embarrassed, you know, to say to somebody, please help me. I can say, please help me in a lot of areas, but with my neighbors, I'm concerned about. I've gone to and from the curb with my cane, and people actually drive by several times in order to watch the performance, and I'm not too happy about that.
Just say, you know, when you're going to the mailbox, can I tag along? You don't have to put it in terms of making them responsible for you.
No, I don't want them responsible.
No, I know that. So just be their friend and just say, you know, occasionally if you want. If you make coffee, you say, do you like coffee? We can warm up.
This is Shelley. I was going to suggest that too. Maybe just if you're, you know, knock on a door someday and say, I just don't know you. I'd like to get to know you here. I've got some cookies or, like you say, a pot of coffee, or could we sit and visit a little bit? I'd like to get to know who you are. I don't know if that opportunity affords itself. Sometimes you being the bold one and initiating it, then all of a sudden it kind of dispels. Oh, she really is a person. She really does talk. Kind of dispels all that myth of you being so different. You know, they're curious. They don't know. And most of the time people just would rather not say anything than take the chance of being offensive or anything. Like you say, the driving back and forth to watch it. I've had that happen. Sometimes you almost feel like you need to take a bow or something. It's kind of how you let it roll off your shoulders kind of thing. And if you initiate, sometimes that can be helpful.
Yeah. And remember, as annoying as that may be, maybe their intentions are good. Maybe they just want to make sure that you're okay and you're...
Or maybe they just don't know how to approach us.
For those of us that cannot see at all, I got to say that we sometimes forget the importance and the assumed use of eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
People who can see are very big on this. And those of us who can't see, I will say that I've only lately begun to, if you're not looking at them or, and you're not talking to them and, they're across the way, you don't know they're there. They can think, not always, but they can think that we're being antisocial because we're not looking at them. We're not making the eye contact that says, hi, how are you? And everybody has a different strategy for how to deal, how to educate people that they work, mm-hmm. live with. About how to handle it. I always say to people, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to know who you are for a while. And I really would appreciate it if you tell me who you are. And after a while, I'll get it. But I'm pretty honest about it because I don't half the time. More people know who we are than we know who they are. And sometimes if you don't recognize them right away, if they're not thinking about it, they get offended because they think you're being really aloof.
I worked in personnel. I had this woman who came in. She wanted to talk to me about health insurance. She told a friend of mine, I can't deal with that she doesn't make eye contact. And my response to that was, well, then get somebody else to help you because my eye contact isn't going to get any better. Although I was nicer.
I recall a time when I worked in radio and we went to this big kind of county fair, and lots of people around. This lady telling me, take off your glasses. I'm like, excuse me? And she said it again. So I said, okay, I removed them. And then she couldn't stop apologizing. And I said, hey, no need to apologize. It's your issue, not mine. When I was young and not quite as tactful as I'm a little better now.
Janie, I wanted to share something. I personally think that when you're really comfortable in your own skin with who you are and how you approach the world will feel that and you won't have any issues with it. So first thing to work on is your self-worth and find something that you feel passionate about. And when you feel comfortable, then the world will understand that you're comfortable. I walk in the park all the time and everybody comes over. I give little lessons and I love it. It's as Shelley said earlier this week, it's always a learning experience. Take it always as an educational experience to help somebody understand what you're dealing with as best they can. Because to you, they're foreign. I mean, to them, you're foreign. Help them out to understand how to approach you. And if they don't, approach them. You can hear somebody talking. Oh, I hear people on the bench. I was wondering if there's a seat. I'd love to sit down. Oh, sure. Now, most people would say that, right? Oh, sure. And you sit down and you say, hi, my name is Jane. I've been blind a long time. I have lots of things I can talk about. How about you? Where are you from? And just start it like that. Because if you hear voices, and guess what? There's probably a bench or they're by a tree somewhere. So take the leap. But first, make sure that you're comfortable in your own skin.
Once you're comfortable in your own skin, you also have to be willing to accept that there are going to be people who they might get better at it, but who are not comfortable with you being you.
Mm-hmm.
That's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jerry.
Yes.
One of the things that I learned was, you know, like when you go into a restaurant or you're at a cashier, take over the conversation. How are you? How's your day going? A lot of times blind people tend to be a little quieter, which I can never be accused of being quiet. You have to be comfortable with yourself. One time I was walking in the office and a woman said to me, you're going to hit the wall. I said, thank you. That's what I was looking for. I don't want to fall down the steps. It's that comfortability where you realize that they're not doing things to be mean. I think the term is passive discrimination, where they don't know better. We need to educate. And on the other side, how many times do we have to educate? We're tired. Curtis or Michael, who had said I was a little curt back in my youth, and I've learned that when I walked into a bed and breakfast, the man looked at me and he said, you didn't tell me you were blind. And I wanted to say, you didn't tell me you were dumb, but I didn't say it.
What you should have said was, you didn't tell me you cared.
But I have to admit that this was in Ocean Grove, New Jersey, that after the weekend I spent there, the next year, Carol Castellano had a Parents of Blind Children convention, and he had blind folk running all through his three floors. He did change, which was good. It made me feel good.
Another thing that's just good practice, going even beyond blindness, is just complimenting people. Thank you. If you have a waitress that's particularly helpful or whatever, cashier, whatever it may be, someone says, thank you, you've been very helpful. And that makes their day. It might be the one compliment that, you know, maybe even their spouse didn't compliment them within the week. It makes a difference and they feel good.
You're not just representing yourself. You're representing the blind community. That's just how it is. And so, you know, think about that. You know, the local, the state, federal, all of that. By your blurting out, you Dumbo, you don't want to do that. You want to just say, excuse me, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were there and my cane hit your foot. That's what it's supposed to be doing. And I can be happy to talk to you about it. But remember, you're representing yourself and a lot of other folk.
If someone looks as though they're looking at me or something, I just say, hi, good morning. And they usually respond, whether they know me or not, whether I know them or not. I actually met one woman recently who did not know what the white cane was. I found that kind of hard to believe that somebody in this day and age wouldn't know that. She said, oh, is that for balance? People don't know, especially people with dogs. I have found that I've had conversations with people who are walking with dogs who are afraid of the cane. They're probably sheltered dogs that have been beaten or something. And just letting the dog get familiar with the cane and not be afraid of it, I think is a safety precaution, not only for the dog, but because if the dog is frightened, it's liable to lash out. And that happens all the time when I'm walking in the street.
You know, we talked about sometimes you're tired and you aren't really in the mood to be nice. But remember that person that you're talking to, I mean, they could be a hiring manager. They could be the president of a company.
Sure.
You never know. And believe me, it's happened to me. I've met very successful people, and I'm just glad that it was a positive interaction. It might have opened a door of opportunity for someone.